working? Folks, it's great to be back at Sunrise Church for our family. We want to thank you for your prayers and your support over the years. And again, it's a privilege to be with you. Thank you to the elders for the invitation to share God's word with you. I was going to start the sermon this morning with a question, but then Pastor Sean got up this morning and said that it wasn't allowed, I think. I was going to start with a question. How are you feeling this morning? And at the risk of, raising Sean's anger, and I do respect Sean, I'm going to ask you that question. How are you feeling this morning? When was the last time that you really felt scared? Or maybe not scared, but at least apprehensive. When I asked my colleague back in March, who's also a pastor in Ukraine, what the churches here worldwide should pray for, he said, for God to help the people overcome fear and panic. In March in Kiev, virtually all the people from our churches were still there on February 24th when Russia furthered their invasion of Ukraine. Now, U.S. intelligence had been predicting this since last fall, and they said that the Russian plan was to encircle and cut off the capital city to install their own puppet regime. And that was exactly what we saw begin to plan out, to play out from February 24th onwards, as the Russian troops quickly approached Kiev and tried to surround it. Now, the people of Kiev knew that Putin has no regard for human life. They knew the torture committed by his troops in eastern Ukraine when he first invaded in 2014. They knew that the whole world expected Russia to succeed in carrying out its evil plan. Kharkov, where Yuri is the elder of the church, was relentlessly carpet bombed since, I think, the second day of the full-scale invasion. All over Ukraine today, people are going to bed with air raid sirens warning of bombing. They're hearing missiles and loud artillery fire near them. It's not the same as on TV. It's genuinely, according to my Ukrainian friends who have experienced this, with even those when they who had to flee the bombs in 2014, it's genuinely a frightening experience. And all the more so when you consider that 70% of the missiles fired at Ukraine, the thousands upon thousands of missiles, over 70% have hit civilian targets, so houses and apartment buildings where people are living. Over 2 million civilian Ukrainians have been kidnapped by the Russian army and forcibly deported into enemy territory in Russia, including over 200,000 children. Now, I pray and hope and believe that you do not face the same terror as your brothers and sisters in the churches, in the Reformed and Presbyterian churches in Ukraine right now. But that does not make the fears or apprehensions in your own life right now, whatever they may be, less real. And they may be related to work or to the economy, perhaps to some family or relationship situation. Whatever it may be, I know you have your own fears or apprehensions. Brothers and sisters and friends, there's a song that all of us need to hear at times like this. A song that brings comfort and assurance as it reminds us at a time when the world is focused on the actions of an evil dictator. It reminds us who really is in charge. And that song is Psalm 46. Which is our sermon passage this morning. As we get ready to read it, let us first bow our heads and turn to God in prayer. O Father God, O Sovereign God, we thank you that you have given us your word. Father, we pray that you, by your Spirit, may apply your word to our hearts, that you would help us to see the truths that you would have us cling on to. And that, Father, you may open my mouth to clearly explain your word. And may anything that is not from you fall from my mouth without effect. But Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, speak to us this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please follow the text with me, Psalm 46. I remind you that this is God's holy and inerrant word. We read from the beginning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Now, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. And thus far, the reading of God's word. Verses 6 to 11, the context of this psalm seems to refer to war, although verse 1 more generally talks about merely troubles. Now, few things are more unsettling than war. But potentially, one of them would be this. Imagine if the ground below you began to shake or even collapse. Verse 2a, the beginning of verse 2. Though the earth gives way. Now, I don't live in a place where earthquakes happen, and I've never lived in such a place, but perhaps you can imagine it better than I can, the psychological shock. You know well the phrase, to stand on solid ground. There's danger at sea, there's a certain amount of danger up in an airplane, and there's some places on earth that are also unpredictable, aren't there? Like swamps, there's quicksand in some places, but what could be safer than when standing on solid ground? We take this for granted all day long, every day. But what if it began to move so violently that you fell down and couldn't get back up on your feet? What if holes began to open up around you and you understood that there's nowhere safe to run to? You would be in a panic. You would fear for your lives. Or verse 3, though its waters roar and foam. Now the sea can be dangerous, even when things are calm. But if you were in a small boat during a storm, you would really be in danger. But sometimes the waves are even bigger and can become vertical, as they would if the mountains moved into the heart of the sea, as the text says. driving down last week down Route 101 from Washington, I noticed all the tsunami evacuation route signs posted everywhere. So my understanding is that they can potentially happen in this part of the world. Probably some of you remember the news from a tsunami in the Indian Ocean in 2004. The waves in that occasion apparently got up to 30 meters in height. And approximately 230,000 people lost their lives as a result of that tsunami. The situation described in this psalm is most frightening and most dangerous. But then there's also different circumstances later in the second half of the psalm, just as frightening, but right now just as relevant, or at least especially if you're in Ukraine. War. Verse 6. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. Now, there's nothing in this psalm that seems to tie it to a specific event in Israel's history. And I think that's important. I think that's part of the point. Here is a psalm that was relevant and helpful in various frightening circumstances in the life of God's people in Israel. And I think here is a psalm that is relevant and helpful to God's people in various frightening circumstances today. Now, if there are any doubts that verse 6 is talking about war, then I think these immediately disappear in verse 9. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. In other words, he destroys the weaponry of war. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. The nations rage, verse 6. The Russian army massed along the border of Ukraine in three directions from last summer. The raging speech of a dictator on March 21st, officially declaring war on the very idea that Ukraine is even a country. The nations rage, cities attacked all over the huge country of Ukraine with fighter jets and tanks and missiles. So if the troubles described in the psalm are similar today, if the reasons for fear are even somewhat similar today, then what are the answers? Now, if I told you that God is the answer, you might just smile a little bit and say to yourself, yes, of course. We know from Sunday school that is always the correct answer. But in this psalm, it really is emphasized that God himself, in the most direct way, is the answer for you and for me. In the context of tension or fear or danger. Verses 2 to 3, we looked at the natural dangers of earthquake, perhaps a tsunami, and of the hypothetical situation of the mountains falling into the sea. And the psalmist says that in all these circumstances, even if the mountains fall into the sea, we will not be afraid. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear. Why? Well, verse 1 tells us God is our refuge and strength, a very present trouble, a very present help in trouble. I think it was about mid-January when the government of Ukraine, or I think it was maybe the city government of Kiev, issued a map of bomb shelters in the city of Kiev, the capital. Unfortunately, when a correspondent of the BBC tried to use this map to to find out and see if there was actually real access to these shelters. The first two she tried didn't seem to hold out much hope. The first one she tried turned out to be a clothes store, which was closed at the time she turned up and locked. The second one turned out to be in the corner of a building where the entrance had been hidden and blocked for the past 14 years, according to the owner of the store next door. So it seemed, unfortunately, that not every bomb shelter is a genuine shelter from danger. But what if your shelter is God Himself? That's what the psalmist says. Are you anxious? Run to God. Do you need protection? Run to God. Are you in danger? Seek safety in God Himself. Well, what about war in the second half of the psalm? The psalmist reminds us that God is in charge. He is the main commander. He is the Lord of hosts. That is, the Lord of armies. So when the nations rage, all he has to do is open his mouth. Verse 6, he utters his voice and the earth melts. And that's why verse 10 reminds us that it is God who stops wars and can destroy the weapons of war. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the chariots with fire. Brothers and sisters, and friends, we need God and His presence. Look at verses 4 and 5. These verses give us a view of the future New Jerusalem, described as we know at the end of the book of Revelation, where we get to enjoy the fullness of God's special presence, but now that special presence is everywhere. Are the streams of the Holy Spirit, of the very presence of God Himself. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of her. Now there's a sense, I believe, in which this is the very heart of redemption. The heart of redemption is this path, which only Christ makes possible, of returning into God's presence after the fall, when man was expelled from Eden, where he enjoyed God's close presence. And that's why this vision of the New Jerusalem that we just talked about is so important. Nothing is more precious than being with God. Jesus is the Savior because He is Emmanuel, God with us. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. Or verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. Now, this psalm does not say that God is with the Ukrainian people or the people of the United States. He is saying that He is with His people, which includes Ukrainians and Russians and Americans, all people who, like Abraham, have believed in God and in the Savior Jesus Christ He has given for sinners like us. But this psalm is relevant for all who live in frightening circumstances today. Even in the midst of war, God is in control. Look at verse 6. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Now, what does this little phrase mean? It's so easy to pass over it in the first reading, isn't it? When morning dawns. Well, if I was trying to sell you a book, or maybe to get as many likes as possible on a Facebook post, I would tell you that this proves that you need to get up early in the morning, just like all successful billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg and others who get up at 5 a.m. or earlier to meditate and to plan out their day ahead. God will help her when morning dawns. But no, this is a very interesting verse, but for very different reasons. Let me ask you another question. When does the enemy try to attack you? At the time of greatest surprise. Now, in modern times, that is, I think, usually, probably, I'm no military expert, but I'm guessing and pretty sure that that's during the middle of the night. But back then, they did not have night vision goggles. And usually the time of attack was at first light, early in the morning, when if you're like me, you're probably still asleep, at least if you're the enemy, just light enough to see, but early enough for it to be a surprise to the people you're attacking. But even more interesting is that this phrase in the Hebrew, when morning dawns, appears in only one other place in the Bible. And that place is in Exodus 14, verse 27, which we read earlier. Let me read it again, that one verse. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. God helped at the time when the enemy attacked. God helped, and the enemy army of Egypt was destroyed. Now, we do not know for sure the future of this war against Ukraine, but we do know that God has been with his people in Ukraine at the time of attack. The God who is our refuge, the God who never changes, and the God who is in charge. He is the one to whom Putin and all other earthly leaders must answer. He is their true shelter. Now, he does not promise the brave Ukrainians fighting for their homeland, fighting the tanks of the invader. He does not promise that they will not be killed. But you see, even in physical death, there is no separation of the believer from the presence of God. Quite the contrary. No one wishes death. No one wants to live under fear. No one seeks that, nor should they. But facing these things and having every human reason for fear, we have an answer from God in this song. How we need the sweet melody of this psalm today, and how the folk in Ukraine, your brothers and sisters in the Reformed churches there, in Kiev and other cities, need to hear it also. Trapped in bomb shelters or in the basements of their apartment buildings, with physically sometimes nowhere to go. This psalm tells them and it tells us that we have an answer and that we have somewhere to go. It tells us we can run to God. Our shelter. Accessible through Christ, who gives us 100% eternal protection from any danger, even from death itself. God is helping now the enemy has appeared. And indeed, as far as Ukraine is concerned, over the past 157 days, we have seen God answering our fervent prayers for the protection of his people and for the thwarting of the attacker's plan. God is our refuge and help. We will not fear. Amen. Oh, Father God, we thank you that you are a sovereign and good God. On the one hand, that means that there are questions that are thrown up in this time of incredible suffering and cruelty, the problem of evil that we acknowledge that we do not know the answer to, but we remain convinced that you are powerful and good, and that is a comfort to us. And so, Father, we thank you too for the assurance that you are the one who controls all things, and we know that you're a God of justice too, as especially as we look into eternity. Father, we cry out that we and your people in Ukraine would very much know, turning to you as a refuge, would know your comfort and shelter and protection. Would have that assurance that even at this time, physical death is not something that can separate them from the love of God. Lord, we thank you that you are our shelter, and not one thing, not any power, not any bomb, not any political circumstance, not any person, nothing can change that. You are our shelter. You are our refuge. You are our reward. We thank you, Father, for this in the name of your Son, by whom we have access to you as refuge and shelter. Amen.
Please stand.